Welcome to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. On our report today, a meat technology company in Jerusalem has caught the attention of Tyson Foods. We will also hear from Leticia Sanders of Maumelle. She's one of two candidates hoping to win the Democratic nomination for governor later this month. And a Bentonville developer has announced plans for a $6 million residential project near the city's downtown square. That's all ahead today on the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom provides communications options to help your business adapt to today's demands with tomorrow's technology. With opportunities in virtualization, redundancy, or maximizing your efficiency. Learn more at onecom.com. That's one-comm.com.
Tyson Ventures, the venture capital arm of Tyson Foods in Springdale, has led a $2.2 million seed investment round in Future Meat Technologies. That's a biotech company based in Jerusalem. And no, that's not Jerusalem, Arkansas. This Jerusalem is just a little further east, near the Dead Sea. Future Meat Technologies is based at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. The company is working to develop a distributive manufacturing platform for the cost-efficient, non-GMO production of meat directly from animal cells, without the need to raise or harvest animals. Tyson Foods Chief Sustainability Officer Justin Whitmore said the company will continue to invest significantly in its traditional meat business, but it will also explore opportunities for growth that, quote, gives consumers more choices. Tyson Foods did not disclose the amount of its investment. Last Thursday on the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report, we heard from Jared Henderson of Little Rock, who is seeking the Democratic nomination to challenge Republican incumbent Governor Asa Hutchinson this fall. Jared is a Springdale High School grad, by the way, 1997, I believe. Today we will hear from Henderson's primary opponent, a Hall High School graduate in Little Rock, Leticia Sanders of Maumelle, which is a suburb just outside the capital city. Sanders is a 42-year-old hairdresser and a graduate student at Webster University. She surprised the political establishment by plopping down her $12,000 filing fee in cash during the waning moments of the filing period on March 1st. Sanders said she has been thinking about running for governor since February 2017. Here's a portion of her conversation with Roby Brock.
Let's talk about some positions that you may have as a governor's candidate here. Pro-life, pro-choice, where do you fall on the issue of abortion?
Kind of both. I wish that our women wouldn't abort their children, but under the circumstances, we don't know what kind of circumstances lie for them. But what I believe, the only way they should be giving their babies up, if it's detrimental to the health or if they've been raped. Mm-hmm. That's my concerns. Now, just having children and wanting to abort them because you feel like you can't take care of them, well, you should have been more responsible about what you were doing to prevent that. Mm-hmm. And you need to be more preventive if you don't want them babies that you know you can't take care of, because then that put a burden on the system. You know, now you're looking for the government to help you for something you knew already that you couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I enforced in my kids. And my older two, they don't have children. And that was one of the things I wanted them to be prepared of, is making sure when they bring a life into the world, that they are financially stable so that they wouldn't have to depend on the government.
What about the death penalty? Would you carry out the death penalty if you
totally against of it? When we're looking at the death penalty, it's more of being playing the role of God. Everybody have the right, everyone make mistakes, and we don't know the circumstances. And when you're doing the death penalty, are we analyzing was that cause for self-defense? So that don't be analyzed as much as, oh, he murdered someone. It's two sides to every story, and the one that died is not able to tell the story, only the one that's alive. And we don't consider the circumstances. So no, I wouldn't be for the death penalty. I will be in keeping them incarcerated, not being eligible for parole. If it's found that it was a hate act or something that could have been prevented, it's something that people, we need to be able to de-escalate the situations, and it shouldn't be more of pulling a gun to resolve the solution.
Let's talk taxes. There's a lot of conversation going on at the state capitol about cutting taxes. There's some conversation about maybe shifting some, if you do some tax cuts, maybe you raise some taxes in some other areas or enforce some taxes in some other areas. What's your position on tax cuts, tax increases? What would you do if you were governor?
Well, I wouldn't be looking to increase taxes. I feel that, like the first draft of the Constitution said, that individuals shouldn't be directly taxation. So my goal is to alleviate some of the imposed taxes that are on the people. And two of my concerns is the property tax. Once an individual have paid their property off, I don't feel that they should be obligated to still be paying property tax. It defeats the purpose of them being a homeowner. It's kind of say, hey, you got your name on the title, but I can always come back and get it.
Where would you make up that difference in revenue, though? I mean, that brings a lot of money in for local school districts and stuff like that. Would they just have to learn to tighten their belts?
No. Well, that's what the recreational of tax of 21 and older come in place. It's a state that uses it, if I'm not mistaken, Washington or Massachusetts.
What about recreational marijuana?
Correct.
Right, okay. So you would maybe advocate recreational marijuana with a tax burden on it to make up for property tax cuts.
Right, and it's not a tax that would be enforced on every individual. It's just the ones that, I guess, will want that. Mm-hmm. So It's for helping the special projects as far as the roads, allocating money to the farmers, because I'm interested in helping the farmers produce organic foods, and that will help out a lot. I've actually did a research on Colorado and Washington and how much it prospered their state off just the recreational tax. But their recreational tax is kind of different from what I'm trying to put in place. They tax is based off 15% to 28% off of the marijuana project itself, and not just up front saying, okay, well, here's this tax. And then mine is up front, where I will have it to where I designated for RT, so recreational tax will automatically be on your driver license. And it's a tax that would be paid every year. If that's what you want, it'll help you as far as being in trouble with the law, so they won't be arresting the people just on a non-toxic stimulant, which is the most safest thing. We look at marijuana as a problem, but we're not looking at alcohol that we know scientifically takes a person out of their character and make them do things that they wouldn't normally do under the circumstances of the influence.
And that's Leticia Sanders speaking with Roby Brock about her primary campaign to be Arkansas's next governor. You can hear the entire interview at talkbusiness.net. Finally today, the development projects in and around downtown Bentonville just keep on coming. The latest is from Bentonville firm Newell Development, which has broken ground on a $6 million residential project at the corner of 6th and B Streets, just southwest of the downtown square. The project is called Depot No. 16 and is owned through an LLC managed by Jake Newell and business partner Ted Herget of Jonesboro. Newell said the project will have 33 units available for lease with a mixture of two-bedroom, one-bedroom, and studio apartments. He said about a third of those units should be pre-leased before they are move-in ready. The project should be done by early next year. And that does it for today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. We will report back to you again next Thursday, right here on Ozarks at Large. I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.